This is Sports Talk with Phil Kornblut, Chris Bergen, and Pat Daniel. Sports Talk is heard across the state on radio affiliates of the Sports Talk Media Network and is streaming live on sportstalksc.com, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. The South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number to call in is 888-898-2525. That's 888-898-2525. Now, here are Phil, Chris, and Pat with tonight's edition of Sports Talk.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome into Sports Talk, Sports Talk Media Network, here on a Wednesday night. It's good to have you with us wherever you're dialed in across the state of South Carolina. Phil Kornblut, Pat Daniel, from our studios in downtown Columbia. Chris Bergen is taking the night off tonight. I think he's got a little family thing going on, so he is relaxing and enjoying things with the fam. And we are here on this Wednesday night. Got a lot of great things to come your way, some things to catch up on, and some new things, including a new edition of SC Wild Tonight with Major Billy Downer at 7:30. He's going to be talking about the passage of that new boating law through the state legislature, which I'm sure everybody is ecstatic about. So he'll be talking about that. Also, he'll be talking about turkey hunting. And also, of course, with the weather rising, the temperatures rising, the weather warming up, we'll be talking a lot about fishing and things like that around the state of South Carolina. I'm going to be talking about the video of this gigantic alligator walking across a street at Kiowa the other day, right in a neighborhood, you know, so big that you didn't dare walk up near it, and people stopped and let it walk across the street along its merry way. The thing was huge. We got that coming up for you tonight. SC Wild from DNR with Major Billy Downer. We talked a lot about Travion Robertson joining South Carolina's coaching staff last night. We did not get to the audio from him. We heard from Shane Beamer. We'll bring you some of that tonight. And an interview with three-time Darlington winner and a one-time series champion, Dale Jarrett, who you may or may not know this. The Jarrett family once lived in Camden. In fact, I think he told me when his dad won the 1965 Southern 500, I think it was, by like 14 laps, they lived in Camden at that time. So we can claim him as a South Carolinian. But, of course, we're going to be talking to him about Dover and about the NASCAR season and about the upcoming Goodyear 400 at Darlington in 2 weekends. Hard to believe that's here, but it is here, and we're looking forward to it. Well, here after they go to Kansas, then obviously Darlington will be on the clock. Outside of that, we'll catch up on some recruiting and catch up on some other news notes of the day. We got NBA playoffs tonight. But first of all, what a couple of games last night. You got to love the NBA playoffs, don't you? I mean, to steal a slogan from many years ago, it is fantastic. Remember that campaign for the NBA? NBA playoffs. It's fantastic. Two great games last night. The Knicks winning at home. L.A. going into San Francisco and beating the Warriors in a terrific game. What about a 3 or 4 minute run? Now, the Lakers played pretty well all night. Anthony Davis was incredible. But that little 3 minute run where they had a 14-0 run to tie the game was just the speed and the shooting, the coordination of their offense. Yet, they had a chance to take the lead, had three shots, got two offensive rebounds, and couldn't knock down a shot. And the Lakers, they made their free throws, and they hit some big shots, and they ended up winning. So they steal one on the road, as Philadelphia did to Boston the other night. And so tonight, game two in the Boston Garden, it's going to be the Celtics down a game, and Joel Embiid may play tonight if he can play through the pain. Or they might think, got a win already on the road. Why push him? Let's hold him till we get back home in a couple of days. But then again, if you've won one on the road, this is where you want to put your foot down and not take your eye off of the target and let up at all. And for the Celtics, of course, they got to play better defense. I think they realize that, not telling them something they don't already know. They got to play better defense. As Charles Barkley said after that game the other night, you can't play an NBA game and play good defense and only have 10 fouls called against you. That's a lack of aggression. And, you know, the Celtics have been accused of not playing as hard as they should play all the time and sort of taking some things for granted. Let's see if they learned something from the other night. This team is not a young team really anymore. Yeah, chronologically, they're still kind of young, but they've been together now for several seasons, and they've been through the ringer. You know, they've been through the run to the conference championship games and not getting through that. Then last year they got through the conference championship to the finals and lost. And, you know, this team, the Celtics team, they should be prepared for anything that comes their way. Now, they do have a rookie coach who's catching some slack from people for maybe his inability to properly use timeouts and make proper substitutions at the right time. I don't know how good a coach he's going to be. He might turn out to be a fantastic coach. You know, they did have an outstanding regular season, but things are certainly different in the playoffs. I'll say this, though. The Celtics team that made the finals last year could play some defense, and this team just has not played the same type of defense. I don't know if it's because of the coaching change or whatever. Now, they are a very offensive team. There's no question about it. They can score with the best of them, but defense has not been a strength of this team. And then you've got the other game tonight out west, Denver and Phoenix. Let's see, that moves to Phoenix now. They're a game ahead in terms of the number of games. They move to Phoenix. No, I take that back. There's just one game tonight. The only game tonight is the Celtics. Yeah, the Celtics game, Celtics and Philly, so forget that. They'll be in Phoenix, I guess, tomorrow night. So that's what we've got lined up for you. Plus, you got USC baseball tonight. The Gamecocks, they are playing at Winthrop, getting back on the field tonight after their weekend at home against Auburn. A tough weekend for them. They did manage to win the final game of that series to salvage something. Eli Jones is going to start tonight for the Gamecocks at Winthrop, and we'll stay on top of that one for you. Keep you up to date on the score, and in fact, we're going to do that here in just a moment and catch up on other baseball happening around the state and around the SEC and the ACC as we head down the stretch. We are also going to update the D1 baseball projections for the NCAA tournament. We'll do that here in just a moment. So they are underway in Rock Hill, where they used to have, with their new baseball stadium. I think they built this stadium not too many years ago. And they built it where in the late afternoon, early evening, I don't know if this was by accident. I'm hoping it's by accident, not by plan. They built it so that if you're at home plate in the late afternoon, the sun is right in your eyes and you can't see. I mean, you're blinded by the sun. Where the sun sits at that time, and you had a, I've seen baseball games at Winthrop in the past delayed because they can't see. Now, that was before they enhanced the batter's eye out in center field. From what I understand, they made it huge. So they have a huge batter's eye that blocks the sun now in the afternoon. So they resolved that problem. But before they did that, you had to deal with that there at the Winthrop ballpark. All right, so they are underway. They're in the top of the second. And it is scoreless, no hits for either team. So let's see what happened in the first inning. It looks like the Gamecocks went down in order with a couple of strikeouts and a ground out. And the Eagles, they went down in order with a strikeout and a couple of ground outs to short. Let's check the Gamecock lineup here in particular because of all the injuries and see who they've got doing what tonight. You got Brewer in center, Braswell's at short, Petrie's in right, Messina's at third, Cassis at first, Denny's in left. You've got French behind the plate, Horning DHing, and Tippett playing second base. So that's the lineup for the Gamecocks tonight. Petrie is batting 409 for the Gamecocks. But he has not, you know, he went on that home run spree where he was hitting home runs with regularity. He has not had a home run. Now, they did have a week off last week in between weekend games, so keep that in mind. But his last home run for Petrie came on April 21st in the Florida series. And the Gamecocks have hit 94 homers going into tonight's game. They hit two homers against Auburn, Messina and Tippett. Auburn hit several homers. Prior to that, the Gamecocks hit four homers against Florida, and that's when Petrie last hit one. So, I don't know. He is a freshman. Sooner or later, you're going to hit that freshman wall, or opponents are going to have enough tape on you to kind of figure you out a little bit. And as we're talking here, the Gamecocks have taken a 1-0 lead in the top of the second. Messina homers to left. So I brought the Gamecocks some good karma talking about their home runs. A 1-0 pitch, and he homered to left field. Messina has been quite the player for the Gamecocks this year. Catching, playing third base, can play first base, and leadership all around. He's kind of been the man for them from that standpoint. So a home run for Messina to left field, and the Gamecocks take a 1-0 lead over Winthrop in the top of the second. Okay, our phone number is 888-898-2525. That is the South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number. We invite your phone calls tonight should you be so inclined to want to comment or question anything that we've talked about, anything that we've got going on. Feel free to give us a call. We got time for your phone calls. And our call-in line is sponsored by the South Carolina Education Lottery. And since 2002, more than $174 million in lottery proceeds has been used to purchase, maintain, and fuel over 2,000 school buses in South Carolina. You can learn more about the South Carolina Education Lottery's impact at sceducationlottery.com/educationwins. And you know, I know, we all know that playing for fun is a win for education. Okay, we'll go to the break and come back to check out those calls if you'd like to join us. We'll also catch up on some other notes. A couple of afternoon Major League Baseball games. We've got San Diego leading Cincinnati 7-1. That's in the top of the seventh. And Philadelphia has a 5-3 lead on the Dodgers this afternoon. And I think that is all we've got in Major League Baseball so far today. No, we do have a few finals. Detroit beat the Mets 6-5. Arizona beat Texas 12-7. And San Francisco has beaten Houston. Final score there, 4-2. I tell you what a crazy start if you want to consider the entire month of April as a start. What a topsy-turvy start when you've got Tampa Bay at 24-6. That's 800 baseball for the first month. Who does that? Baltimore is 20-9. What about Texas? 18-12. Most incredible is Pittsburgh, 20-10 for the Pirates. Crazy start to the baseball season. Some fresh names atop the standings, and we'll be back.
Imagine a scrapbook filled with all your favorite memories of 75 years of NASCAR gone by. Now imagine that scrapbook going 190 miles per hour.
Have you ever? No, I've never!
You don't have to imagine it. You need to get to Darlington, where the drivers of today tackle the track too tough to tame, just like they did your first time. NASCAR Throwback Weekend at Darlington Raceway, May 12th through the 14th. Get your tickets today at darlingtonraceway.com.
Parents ask, what's the best way to save for college? I'm State Treasurer Curtis Loftus, and my answer is always open a Future Scholar 529 College Savings Account. It's easy. You can get started online with any amount. It's flexible to adapt your child's college dreams. And you can deduct 100% of your contributions from the South Carolina state tax return. So what are you waiting for? Go to FutureScholar.com and see why it's the smart, easy way to save for college. FutureScholar.com.
Hi, this is Major Billy Downer, and coming up tonight at 7:30, it's another edition of SC Wow from the Department of Natural Resources on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Hi, I'm Jim Corbett. I've been an attorney for more than 30 years. There's one thing I've learned about injury cases, it's you need the personal touch. You need the lawyer to get to know you and describe your damages. You don't want a case manager talking to an insurance company, and then talking to you, and then talking to maybe to a lawyer with limited experience at the last minute to try to settle a case. I talk to you, I find out what your case is about. Jim@JimCorbettAttorney.com. Jim@JimCorbettAttorney.com for your injury cases.
Major Downer here from the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. Boating season is just around the corner. To make sure that your boat is ready, check your registration sticker and ensure it's current. Find your registration card, make sure your life jackets are in good shape, and check your fire extinguisher as well. For more information on boating or boat titling questions, visit dnr.sc.gov/boating.
We are back on Sports Talk, Sports Talk Media Network, 888-898-2525. Beautiful day in South Carolina. A little windy. Good day to be on the links. Take advantage of that wind when it's behind you. And, of course, just hit worm burners when a wind like that's in front of you, right? Just hit it low. Do what you can with it. But it reminds me that, of course, summer and golf season right now is on in South Carolina. But golf in South Carolina is a year-round thing. But really this time of year and into the summer, the Grand Strand's a great place to go to get your golf, to get your golf Jones on. And of course, if you want to go down to Garden City or to Litchfield or Points Beyond, Pawleys Island, for example, looking for a great place to stay, you want to give Jimmy Smith a call at pawleysvacationrentals.com, James Smith Real Estate, 843-237-4246. That number again is 843-237-4246. Go ahead and get your plans set for the upcoming vacation season. You don't wait too long. You'll miss out on that location you're looking for. You might want something on the beach. You might want something a couple of rows back. You might want something on the inlet, maybe on some other body of water. Maybe you don't want to sit on a body of water at all. Maybe you want a condo to just sneak away to for a couple of weeks. Maybe you want to buy some property. All of that, everything I just talked about, Jimmy and his people, they can work with you to get that done. Here is that number once again, 843-237-4246, online at pawleysvacationrentals.com. Perfect Peach Getaway is waiting for you. That simple phone call to Jimmy Smith, 843-237-4246 is the number. All right, some college baseball. Otherwise, besides South Carolina Winthrop, you got North Carolina, East Carolina hooking up in Greenville. It's 1-1, middle of the fifth. Citadel leading Charleston Southern 4-3, top of the fourth. Queens, a 7-6 lead on Upstate, bottom of the third. And that's what we have for you there. Another update on South Carolina Winthrop. Still in the top of the second. Two are out. Runner on first. Gamecocks are leading 1-0 over Winthrop. Phone number, 888-898-2525. You can reach us right now if you want to give us a call, update some other things for you. I mentioned the field of 64 projection by D1 Baseball. They've updated their projection and some changes as a result of their latest projections. They still have South Carolina as a high national seed, but down a spot from last week. I think they were number three last week. They've got them at number four this week. And they've got the Gamecocks hosting as a four seed Davidson, as a two seed Clemson, and as a three seed Wofford.
Interesting.
That would be pretty cool. Gamecocks, Davidson, Clemson, Wofford, number one. You'd be pretty guaranteed of full houses for all the games because, you know, Gamecock fans would come out, Clemson fans, Wofford fans. You'd have really big crowds for all the games. Even Davidson would bring some people. So that is that regional. They also have Coastal Carolina down a little bit in the rankings, a number nine national seed, but hosting nonetheless. A number nine national seed hosting number four Maine. The number two seed would be East Carolina. The number three seed would be North Carolina. So that would be terrific as well. I would love to see that combination happen for our state to get those schools in, to be hosting with those opponents. That would make for some outstanding college baseball mayhem the latter part of the month. Actually, I think maybe getting into June almost by the time they get these regionals underway. So that's by D1 Baseball. They are not the people who pick the teams. Don't get me wrong. That's not the absolute. That's just their projections. But they're usually pretty good about that. But South Carolina and Clemson and Coastal, you know, Coastal got beat last night. That's not a good thing to lose a game to Charlotte the way they did last night. That doesn't help them when it comes to national seeding and all that. In fact, while I'm talking about it here, let me take a look at the updated RPI going into tonight. It's still Wake Forest number one and South Carolina number two in the RPI. The Gamecocks have a number 11 strength of schedule. Their non-conference record is 21-2, which gives them a non-conference RPI of 2. Their non-conference strength of schedule is 84. 25-3 at home against Q1 teams, 17-7. So that's outstanding. LSU is third in the RPI, then Kentucky. So South Carolina, Kentucky going to meet in Lexington this weekend, and then Vanderbilt. Coastal Carolina, despite the loss last night, still hanging in there at number 9 in the RPI. What's helping them, their non-conference strength of schedule is number 3. So Gary Gilmore will play you. He'll play teams, and that helps you. Even if you lose, that does help you. They are against non-conference opponents. They are 13-9. That's an RPI of 25. And they are 8-6 against Q1 competition, 10-5 against Q2. What could hurt them is they've lost 4 games against Q3 and Q4 teams. If they're in that situation where it's kind of, are they a national seed? Are they not? Should they host? Should they not? That sort of thing. Clemson, which is off this week until Louisville visits this weekend, the Tigers are number 12 in the RPI, 28-17 overall. Their strength of schedule is 3 nationally, and their non-conference strength of schedule is 9. So that's good for the Tigers. Of course, they've played the Gamecocks, and they play Coastal Carolina, and they've played Georgia a couple of times, and they've done well. College of Charleston, they've done well in scheduling some good non-ACC opponents. Their non-conference strength of schedule, RPI, is 14. So that's pretty good. That's a good argument for them. And also, now they're 12-12 against Q1 opponents. They are 8-1 against Q2, 3-4 against Q3, and against Q4 opponents, they are 5-0. They haven't played that many Q3, Q4 opponents, just 12 games against those. Kind of gives you an idea of their strength of schedule. So they're hanging in there, number 12, got a chance to help themselves against Louisville at home this weekend. Louisville not having a great year. They are 27th in the RPI, 9-12 in the ACC, and 29-15 overall. And then Wofford would be next in the state in the RPI at number 48. And the Terriers, they are 32-12 on the season. And their strength of schedule, RPI, is, well, their strength of schedule ranking is 77. Their record against non-conference opponents, 24-8. And that's pretty good, 34 when the RPI there. They're 1-3 against Q1 teams, 7-4, 5-1, and 18-4. They've played a bunch of Q4 teams, but that's what happens when you're in the Southern Conference. So those are the top teams in the state right now going into tonight's game by the RPI.
Phil, real quick, going back to Clemson for just a moment, something that jumped out to me while you were reading all that, there's an those sound eerily similar to Clemson basketball this past year. Remember, they were left out of the NCAA tournament in large part due to bad losses. Well, Clemson baseball, 3-4 against quad 3, has got to be looming pretty large to those that pick the teams that make the postseason and have host sites.
Well, that's why they can't really afford to stumble in down the stretch, because they've been playing some good baseball here of late. We'll be back. Back we are, Sports Talk, Sports Talk Media Network, 888-898-2525. To your calls in just a second, let me update a few things I want to touch on here that are important besides the D1 projection by D1 Baseball. A couple of things that we didn't get to last night and some new things that we want to touch on today. First of all, Clemson announcing their newest selections for their Hall of Fame. DeAndre McDaniel, Raymond Priester, Yezekiel Halifa, Lawson Duncan, Will Solomon, Miller Moss, Kyle Parker, Larry Pindley, April Sinkler, Ani Miyasika, don't recognize that one, and Gary Burnham. Clemson people, you'll know who those people are. And I apologize for butchering that name. Gary Burnham. Do you remember what stands out about Gary Burnham? Who remembers what stands out about Gary Burnham? I'm going to leave that open. Besides his baseball skills, he did something that made him a national figure for about 24 hours. Well, actually for all time, but really for about 24 hours. Who knows? 888-898-2525. And don't be Googling it, Pat. If you don't know, you don't know. Front Office Sports reported that Fox Sports announced that its broadcast of Super Bowl, Super Bowl 57, set an all-time record. They went back and redid the numbers. It turns out they set an all-time record, most watched Super Bowl in history. The Chiefs' comeback win over the Eagles averaged 115.1 million viewers across Fox, Fox Deporte, digital streaming services. This, according to updated figures from Nielsen, topping the previous record of 114.4 in 2015. The previously pegged viewership for the game at 113 million. Updated figures, Fox's audience rose 2% over the 112.3 million for last year's broadcast. Nielsen is issuing the new record number after addressing irregularities in the encoding that enables Nielsen's measurement of TV viewing and unspecified issues with out-of-home measurement of Super Bowl 57. So 114 plus, I mean, really, that's about, what, one in every three Americans, more or less, was watching the Super Bowl that particular day. That's pretty good. The North Carolina High School Sports Association, I'm missing a word there, NCHSAA, North Carolina High School Athletic Association, that's probably what that is. Their board of directors today did approve by a 15-3 vote the adoption of a policy allowing high school athletes in North Carolina to profit off their name, image, and likeness beginning on July 1. Now, stop me if you've heard some of this before. This affects 180,000 student athletes at their member schools. This includes traditional public schools, dozens of charter schools, and four non-boarding parochial schools. Before athletes can strike a deal with a company, they must go through an education course about NIL put together by the National Federation. Parents, coaches, ADs, and principals will also be required to go through this course. Under the new policy, athletes would be allowed to monetize their name, image, and likeness through appearances, athlete-owned brands, autographs, camps, and clinics, group licensing, in-kind deals, instruction, non-fungible tokens, product endorsements, promotional activities, and social media. Here's where you got to stop me if you've heard this before. Schools and coaches would not be allowed to facilitate NIL deals. Wherever you heard that. They are not allowed to use NIL to recruit or encourage enrollment. Yeah. And school employees and coaches cannot act as a student's agent or marketing rep. So anyway, that's that. 27 state associations have approved NIL. South Carolina has not done that yet. So there you go. Now it's in the high schools, moving broadly across the country, and we'll see how that goes. I wonder if we'll have collectives for high schools now. I'm sure we will, right? I'm sure you're going to have collectives for the high school athletes, just like you do for colleges, because there are going to be people who see this not only as an opportunity for the athletes to make some money, but for themselves to make some money. Ah, what a nice idea. A couple of other things, and then we'll get to the calls. Bet Online has published some early lines, well, not early lines, some lines on what they viewed as some key games for this coming season. For South Carolina Clemson participation, you've got this. The Gamecocks are 2-point underdogs to North Carolina, 24-point underdogs at Georgia, 13-point underdogs at Tennessee, and a 6.5-point underdog to Clemson. Does any of that surprise you? I mean, Georgia, yeah, at 2 points, neutral site, North Carolina, that's pretty much a toss-up, but still, Vegas probably likes Drake May, I guess, more than they like Spencer Rattler. And Clemson is still highly regarded because you look at the Clemson numbers, the Tigers are favored by 2.5 against Florida State, by 10 at Miami, by 10.5 at NC State, by 4.5 against Notre Dame, and by 10.5 against North Carolina. So they're favored in all their games. So, I guess Clemson, they view Clemson as a team that could run the table. So there you go. Something to ponder about here in May. And also, the Clemson and Furman men's golf teams will be in the Salem Regionals hosted by Clemson at the Cliffs at Kiawee Falls. That tournament begins on May 15th. North Carolina's the number one seed, then Georgia Tech and Texas A&M. Clemson's the 9 seed, and Furman is the 10 seed. And I believe those are the only teams from our state to be in the tournament. No Gamecocks, no College of Charleston. There are some individuals. I think College of Charleston has an individual in the field. But that's it for this year, for the tournament, Clemson and Furman. I don't think Coastal. I haven't seen anything on Coastal. I don't think Coastal's in there. All right, there you go. With some updates, let's go to Tiger Bryan. Tiger Bryan joining us from beautiful Lancaster. Tiger Bryan, how are you on this beautiful windy day?
Man, you don't know when. We just come in from Lake Greenwood since Sunday. Man, it's a monsoon and wind. You couldn't. A skydiver would have got lost up there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was with 30-mile-an-hour wind. But, hey, the old Tiger Bryan did catch one catfish.
How big?
Well, it wasn't real big. You know how I caught it?
How'd you catch it?
I run out of bait. Hey, right, listen now. Hey, right, you know why I feel so bad today? I ain't had no adult beverages hardly. Hey, right, Miss Tiger Bryan just whooped me like, she fished 2 hours a day. She caught two fish. Tiger Bryan, he fished 8 hours a day. 3 days, I ain't catch one fish.
Well, that just tells me that she's a smarter fisher person than you are.
Yeah, or either she's a little luckier than I am. Yeah.
What is it? Yeah. What's important about fishing? Knowing how to fish and skill or luck? What's the most important factor?
I bait or hook. That makes a lot, yeah. But I love it because, yeah, she don't get to rub it in much, Miss Corn and all. Yeah. But this is the first night I heard y'all this week. I was going in DTs. I got to get on the phone.
Well, you know, I mean, our signal carries right over Lake Greenwood. You can find us on a radio or on your phone or whatever the case may be. There is no excuse, Tiger Bryan. I'm going to have to chastise you. I'm scolding you for not being a supreme listener.
I need y'all to do me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all text me Gamecock Larry number. Me and him got to get together and get us in our ill from sports talk. Get us some money coming in. Let us make some money. These high school kids make money. Come on.
I think that if we could get like a calendar of you and Gamecock Larry, like you 1 month, you alternate months, maybe in some swimwear or, you know, T-shirts.
No.
Something kind of sexy between the two of you that we could sell those calendars and then we could call it the best of Clemson men and the best of Gamecock men. Because, as you know, a Clemson man needs no introduction there, Tiger Bryan.
Yeah. Well, if I was in a swimsuit, Your wife will be coming to Lancaster to see me.
One problem, she doesn't like PBR, okay? You'd have a problem there.
Well, it ain't PBR, it'd be what be swinging. I've been off the grid. My wife, she got so mad at me last night when I was reading. I said, I got checked up on, South Carolina, and what about that kicker, for Clemson, that transferred, is that Gunner kid that much better? Because, the other kid kicked a 51, and that 51 probably could have, went 61. I've seen it.
Coach Sweeney said after the spring game that he was competing for the job. Now, they must have – only thing I can figure is in their exit meetings that happened the week after the spring game, they must have decided that Gunn was going to be the starting kicker. They just haven't announced it. They must have told them that, and the kid said, okay, well, I'm out of here. I'll go find someplace else to kick.
Phil, do you think, out of curiosity, and Tiger Bryan, your thoughts, do you think maybe another team saw how good that kicker was in the spring game? Remember, he made a 51-yarder. He looked great. Maybe some other team out there that needs a kicker said, hey, guy, we'll offer you a scholarship. You can come play for us.
Can't do that. That's illegal. Can't do that. Not unless you're in the portal, John. Was he in the portal, John? He wasn't in the portal, John.
Even if it's a walk-on? Do those same rules apply to walk-ons as they do to scholarship players?
I would imagine they do.
It would make sense. 100%
sure. Now, and of course I'm doing that tongue-in-cheek. We know that happens.
Same.
We know all you got to do is call somebody's parent or coach and say, hey, next time you talk to him, tell him if he's interested in coming, we got a spot for him. You can get it done through the back channels.
Are they NIL or something? I don't blame the kid because the other kid, the Gunner kid, he tore his ACL before. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
Yeah, tore his ACL in high school.
In high school, yeah.
Yeah, but he's healthy. Yeah. He's fully healthy now. Yeah. So,
did you know the story about how he tore it? He kicking a field goal, 41-yard field goal, and it was blocked, and the kid got grit. He was running down the board about and picked it up, and two of the defense, the other boys, hit him, blindsided him or something. Yeah, that's what the story I heard. But he got, it wasn't like he got hit in the leg while he caught the ball. He was running, trying to tackle. So, but I don't know. This NIL and that transport of bad John, I ain't going to say what it is, like you call it.
Portal Johns are good. A good Portal John is hard to find. Let me just leave that.
Yeah.
Let me just pose that to you. A good Portal John, you never know when you need one, okay?
I ain't learning. But this thing they're going with that NIL, with these kids, high school kids, and talking about them, they do camps. They're volunteering to teach young kids. They'll teach them ABCs and algebra.
I will say, and thank you. I'm glad you're back from the lake. I'm glad you're safe. Learn how to fish better. When it comes to the grades, South Carolina, Clemson, all our in-state schools apparently are getting it done. The APRs came out yesterday. I don't mention the APRs. It's too complicated. Don't really get into them, except that apparently everybody is above board. No issues. You're not going to be banned from bowl games or lose scholarships or anything like that. So they're doing a good job. They've been doing a good job, at least reporting that grades are really high and percentages of A's are way up and graduates are way up. We don't seem to be having a whole lot of academic issues this day and age. I don't know if it's gotten easier. Maybe all the help and all the tutoring they get is helping out. Maybe the players are more committed to getting their academic work done as well. I don't know. Seldom do you run across a situation where somebody is flunking out anymore in college. It happens. Don't get me wrong. Maybe it happens more than we know. They just don't let you know that it's happening. But it seems like, from an academic standpoint, everybody's picked it up and doing a good job. Tiger Bryan, thank you very much. Always good hearing from you. 888-898-2525 is the number. We go to – who are we going to go to next, Pat? I'll let you introduce the next caller here on Sports Talk.
Sure. We will be staying right here, not too far away. Somebody's celebrating a birthday, by the way, down in Charleston. Sam, welcome into the program.
Sam, how are you? And happy birthday to you. How'd you know it was Sam's birthday? Did he tell you that?
I've got eyes and ears everywhere, Corn.
Oh. Well, Sam, happy birthday.
Thank you. How you guys been?
Good. How's your birthday been?
Oh, it's been good. Yeah. I got to tell you something. 32 plus years has been fun. A few ups and downs, but 33 is going to be a good number this year. I'm looking forward to new faces next year for the basketball season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy about. Did you guys hear about we got a new signing this week?
They signed a couple of transfer guys. They've picked up some transfers here of late. Looks like they're kind of rebuilding through the transfer portal, John. Let's see. They signed, of course, they had James Scott committed, 6'11", out of Fayetteville, and then C.J. Fulton, a transfer from Lafayette. He's 6'2", and Kobe Rogers. Kobe Rogers, who's 6'3", a transfer from Nova Southeastern, where he helped win a Division II natty. So, looks like they picked up a couple of good ones.
Well, actually, I want to go back to the NIL deal thing going on. You just heard about it from Tiger Bryant.
Yeah.
Here's my dilemma I don't get. I think don't say it's in front of Tiger Bryant, okay?
Hang on. Don't let this get to Tiger Bryant. Tiger Bryant, don't listen. All right, go ahead, Sam.
So what does the NIL stand for? And I want to know if you guys hear about my I got some breaking news I got to tell you.
Well, NIL stands for name, image, and likeness. And what is your breaking news?
So let's just say that I'm going to sign my $5.5 million with Coach Kelsey next year.
You'll be doing what with the Cougars?
I'm going to sign my $5.5 million contract with Coach Kelsey the next 5 years.
Oh, you're going to sign a contract with Coach Kelsey?
Yes, sir.
For $5.5 million?
Well, I got to tell you, remember when there's a former coach who coached us a long time ago before I went to college named Coach Earl Grant. You remember him?
Oh, yeah. He's the head coach at Boston College.
Well, I want to have a big shout-out to him and his family up there, but I hope he's doing really well with the Boston College for next year. And I just wanted to know that I may be going up to Boston to see a game sometime soon because I've never been to Chestnut Hill, and I got to tell you, they are really, really big with that program up there because I think if you look at Brevin Galloway, he went to Clemson. I am extremely mad because I know he's doing great things up in Clemson. Big shout out to him up there. He's doing great things for Clemson's program. I really accepted it. But I want to go back to what Tiger Bryant just said about the NIL deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be careful I'm saying on the air, but I think the NIL should be – I want the NIL to go away because
– Well, let me jump in, and we got to go to a break. Thank you, Sam. It's not going away because it's just now entrenched, and schools have accepted it, and schools have embraced it. Those that have embraced it, you know – they're going to try and thrive as a result of it. Those that embrace it wholeheartedly and have a plan, they're going to try and thrive by having that as part of their portfolio to show to recruits and the recruits' families that if you come here, you know, you will have a chance through the NIL process to do this, this, and this. You can make this kind of money. And you know that's being discussed. Come on, let's don't bury our heads and be naive about it. It has to be discussed. I don't understand how the NCAA can say anything in any way to try and prevent that from coming up in conversations with players and families who are discussing their collegiate futures. We'll be back.
Bryant here for Tsunami Bar Sports, and some say the fun is in the winning. I say the fun is in the training. And Tsunami Robbie, what do you say?
George, we all know you get more done when you're having fun. This technology is different, it's engaging, but it's also a lot of fun to use.
Hi, this is Phil Kornblut. Be sure to click on the digital ad on sportstalksc.com and get 5% off any Tsunami Bar order using promo code BBB5. Don't wait, order today.
Have you turned on the fun? Try Cash Pop from the South Carolina Education Lottery. Pick one number from 1 to 15, win up to $2,500, or play all 15 numbers, and you're guaranteed to win. Play twice a day to double your fun. It really is that easy. Visit sceducationlottery.com to get the details. Cash Pop, it's the light of the party.
Hi, this is Major Billy Downer, and coming up tonight at 7:30, it's another edition of SC Wow from the Department of Natural Resources on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Imagine a scrapbook filled with all your favorite memories of 75 years of NASCAR gone by. Now imagine that scrapbook going 190 miles per hour.
Have you ever? No, I've never!
You don't have to imagine it. You need to get to Darlington, where the drivers of today tackle the track too tough to tame, just like they did your first time. NASCAR Throwback Weekend at Darlington Raceway, May 12th through the 14th. Get your tickets today at darlingtonraceway.com.
All right, coming up on the top of the hour break here on Sports Talk, let's update the baseball. Still 1-0, South Carolina leading Winthrop. Jerzenbeck is on the mound now for the Gamecocks. 1-2-0 for USC. They've left 5-0 across the board for the Eagles. Let's see if they even have had a base runner strikeout. So Jones only went an inning. Struck out 1, faced 3. Jerzenbeck has come on. And he has pitched 2 innings, and he has not allowed a base runner either. So far, no base runners for the Eagles as they are in the bottom of the 4th inning. South Carolina leading 1-0. Elsewhere, North Carolina now 2-1 over East Carolina. It's Charleston Southern 6-5 over the Citadel. That's in the 5th. Upstate now leading Queens 9-7, bottom of the 5th. West Virginia leads Pitt 1-0, top of the 2nd. And that is that for now. Also, want to mention before we hit the break that, by the way, for Clemson and their golf team, 41st straight NCAA tournament appearance for the Tigers with them going into the tournament this year. The Horry County Board of Education approved Soxty High School's request to name the Braves Stadium Fieldhouse to Dr. Paul K. Browning Fieldhouse after former principal, and the playing field at the stadium to be named Renfro Family Field after Tim, Suzanne, and Hunter Renfro and family. So very nice. And we didn't mention this earlier in the week, but I'll touch on it now. Women's tennis. The South Carolina women going to be in the Chapel Hill Regional, and they will face Old Dominion, North Carolina, and Charleston Southern on the other side of the bracket. The USC men, the number 9 national seed, will be hosting a regional. They'll face South Carolina State in the opening round this weekend. Baylor and Florida State will be the other teams in that particular regional. All right, top of the hour. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network. You can reach the guys with the South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number, 888-898-2525. That's 888-898-2525. Now back to Phil, Chris, and Pat with the second hour of Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Okay, back with you, Sports Talk Media Network. Phil Kornblut, Pat Daniel from our studios in downtown Columbia. SC Wild coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Travion Robertson in just a moment. Let me update USC Winthrop baseball. They've moved to the top of the fifth. It's a 1-0 game. This is a rapidly moving game. They've played an hour. They're already in the top of the fifth. And pitching, of course, has been dominant to this point. Now, South Carolina pitchers, Jones and Jerzenbeck, to this point. Now, Jones only pitched an inning. Jerzenbeck has pitched three innings. They have a perfect game going thus far. No walks, been no errors, been no hits. Got a perfecto going to this point. The Gamecocks only have two hits, but one of those was a home run by Messina to give them that 1-0 lead as they play the top of the fifth with one out.
And when that perfect game inevitably goes away now because of the curse Phil just put on it, go ahead and give us a call, 888-898-25, and take out your frustration on our very own Phil Kornblut.
You can blame me for hanging that slider that they hit into right field, whatever the case may be when they break up the no-hitter. Okay, big day for Travion Robertson yesterday as he returned to South Carolina as defensive line coach for the Gamecocks, a place, of course, where he spilt his sweat and blood as a defensive lineman, a very good defensive lineman for the Gamecocks, then on to the NFL for a little bit, then into coaching. He met with the media late yesterday afternoon to talk about his new job.
I'm not just here because I'm a former player. I'm here because I was a great player here, and I want to be even better coach here. I left a statement. I thought I left a statement as a player, but I want to make a bigger impact as a coach and give back to these kids. A lot of guys that come in, they want to do things. They want to make it to the NFL. And, you know, I was the same way. I was the same way as a player. And I figured it out, and I put my head down, and I kept working. And no matter what came my way, good, bad, or ugly, I just kept going. And it's no day it's going to be a perfect day, but that's the way I operate. And I'm looking forward to coaching these guys up. I'm looking forward for a lot of ball games. I'm looking forward for recruiting in the great state of South Carolina and all over. But I love this place. My wife loved this place. And we're going to be forever grateful for Coach Beamer, Coach Clayton White giving me the opportunity to come back.
How's it going, Trey?
How you doing?
David Kloniger from the Post-Courier. Good to see you again. Coach Beamer mentioned that, you know, he made one phone call. Once you got that phone call, were you immediately thinking, yes? I mean, if he offers, and once he made that offer, how soon did it take you to answer?
Well, like I said, I was on the phone with my wife, and I told him the story in the call. She was like, hey, I'm going to take the boys to track, and you got dinner. And she had the dinner in the And I was calling her to figure out what to put the food on, like the temperature. And I said, hold on, Coach Beamer is calling me. And she said, all right, call me back. And like I said, I was in the house by myself, and it took me about 2 hours to cook that food after he called me. So, man, I was excited. My heart dropped. And it was time when a draft was going on, or just about to start. And I felt like I was getting drafted all over again.
Hey, Travion, Mike Yuva, Gamecock Central. You mentioned timing. I mean, as an alum, I'm sure you've been paying attention to the program the best you can while also doing your other coaching duties. But to see where the program is now and also knowing how big of a part you were when South Carolina had the heyday for football here, how excited are you to be coming home now?
I'm super excited. Obviously, I was coaching, and it was hard for me to kind of watch every game. But when I had time to watch, the things that I saw, the things that I witnessed, I saw this program going in the right direction, especially after, you know, finishing the way we finished last year. So, you know, just like coaches do their research on their hires, I do my research too. And a lot of things I've been hearing is this place is going in the right direction, and I witnessed it, and now I'm here to help be a part of it.
Alan Cole, GamecockScoop.com. You mentioned this program developing, kind of evolving since you've been here, but how have you developed and evolved as a coach from maybe when you started at Georgia State, going to Albany State, versus where you are now in terms of coaching young men?
So I think for me, it didn't start when I started coaching. For me, I was blessed to be coached by some great coaches. Ray Hamilton was one of my coaches. First of all, Coach Lauren, he was a great coach here. You know, me and him developed a relationship a long time ago. When he was at North Carolina, he offered me when I was a freshman in high school. And my biggest thing on coaching is relationship with my players. My coaches made a huge impact on me growing up because I spent more time with coaches than I did with my parents. And so when I say that, I have a high school coach that coached me that's literally working in Columbia right now. And, you know, We stay in contact every month, every other day, and he's coached me in high school. Me and Coach Lauren talk probably twice a month. And so the relationship that I built with my coaches was what helped me become the man I am today. And so when I became a coach myself, I wanted to do the same thing because I know how special it felt for me to know that a coach cared. And the coach didn't look at me just as a football player. The coach helped me with life things. The coach helped me with jobs. The coach talked to me about being a father. My coach talked to me about being, you know, a husband. And so once I got the opportunity, I wanted to give back the same way my coaches gave to me. Far as my demeanor, how I coach, I mean, Brian Cox, Ray Hamilton, Coach Lauren, even my high school coach, Coach Parrish, they really poured a lot into me as a player. And so I'm just really giving back now and trying to do the same things that my coach did to me to make me a great player.
Hey, I'm Hel McGranahan with TheBigSpur.com. You mentioned the story about Coach Long and before you signed here, I guess. I just wanted to know if you had any good Coach Long stories after you were here and playing for him and around him for this few years.
No, I mean, Coach Long was he was great for me. I really don't have no stories about Coach Long. He's a special guy for me, you know, and our relationship that we had is a lot different than others. But one thing I can say, it was fun. It was real fun. He helped us practice hard. As you know, Clowney, Melvin, all of us. And one thing I do know is he called me one night and he told me, he said, Travian, he said, I really didn't coach you guys. He said, you guys played your butt off. I just made sure y'all stayed out of trouble.
All right, some comments from Travian Robertson. All of it's on our website. Also, it's up in our podcast. If you want to hear it all, it's there for you. And let's get to the recruiting report tonight here on Sports Talk. And, of course, recruiting is brought to you by the one and only Seawells Food Caterers right here in Columbia, but open for everybody across the state. When you come to Columbia, you're thinking about where we're going to have lunch. Well, just head over to Seawells at 1125 Rosewood Drive across from the state fairgrounds. If you see the rocket on your left, look to your right, and that's Seawells. Okay, it's a great landmark. The rocket in the state house grounds on the left, that's if you're heading that way. If it's on your right, then Seawells will be on your left. But if it's on your left, then Seawells will be on your right. Anyway, if you see the rocket, just look over there and you'll see Seawells. And you want to be there between 11 and 2 because the luncheon buffet is worth the drive. It's worth the effort. And it's for pennies on the dollar. It's only, you know, $13. Everything else is going up, not the Seawells Daily Luncheon Buffet. It's been $13 for a long, long time. So Monday through Friday, 11 to 2. Then if you got something coming up and needs the best in the catering business, you want to give the folks at Seawells a call and let them handle it all. 803-771-7385. You don't stay in business for nearly 80 years by doing a lousy job. They do a great job. 803-771-7385 online at SeawellsCateringSC.com. Clemson cornerback target Corian Gibson, 5'11", 170, Lancaster, Texas, closing in on his decision. Clemson cornerbacks coach Mike Reed went out to see him on Monday. So they made a quick trip to get out there as soon as they could get on the road. He was at Clemson for the spring game, first game he's been in to see inside Death Valley. He was also in for a visit in March. And so he loved the facilities and the program, the culture at Clemson, really likes what Mike Reed has done over the years. He likes the fact he's been there 11 years. He likes the fact that Dabo Swinney's been the head coach there for a long time. He named the top five of Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Texas, and TCU. Clemson is going to get his first official visit the first weekend in June. However, he told us he plans to drop a commitment video right around June 1st. So maybe you can tie those two together. He would not say who the favorite is. The national pundits, the national recruiting pundits on those recruiting websites, on the networks, they've got Texas as the team to beat. But some indications are it might be Clemson. We shall see. He's also a track athlete, a PR in the 100 meters of 10.73. He said he made tackles last year, but no picks because nobody would throw his way. Quote, they were not messing with me, is how he put it. Love it. USC added a PWO lineman earlier in the week in Campbell Vandeveer, 6'7", 265 of Brentwood, Tennessee. Gamecocks could be on the verge of adding a second in Nye Mansell, 6'3", 305, a transfer from Mercer, who's out of Westside High School. He visited on Monday. He told us he has a PWO offer from the Gamecocks' Lonnie Teasley. He's leaning towards accepting that. Some announcement could come tomorrow. He can play center. He can play guard. 3 seasons with the Bears after signing with them in 2020. After entering the portal, he had offers from Alabama State, Tennessee State, Eastern Kentucky. Defensive end, Jatias Gear, 6'6", 255 of Syracuse, entered the portal on the 28th and is drawing the attention of some of the USC coaching staff. He prepped at Belton Honeypath. In 13 games last season, he recorded 33 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks. USC's in the top six with defensive back Jaden Baugh, Decatur, Georgia. USC offered 2025 receiver Taz Williams, Red Oak, Texas. Running back Savion Hyder, Mineral, Virginia. Safety Sonye DeGraffenreid of Atlantic City, New Jersey. Also in the 25 class, 25 defensive end Christian Garrett of Monroe, Georgia. Receiver Micah Gilbert of Charlotte, who had USC among his top seven, committed yesterday to Notre Dame. Wide receiver Channing Goodwin of Charlotte has set May 7th for his commitment announcement. USC's in his final seven, but they've not really been all that involved in recent months. Linebacker Sammy Brown of Jefferson, Georgia has 5 officials set. Tennessee, May 26th, followed by Clemson, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. 6'4", Jonathan Powell of Dayton has Clemson in his final 6, along with Indiana, Xavier, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Virginia Tech. 6'4", Austin Swartz, who has Clemson and USC offers, was offered by Notre Dame. Presbyterian guard 6'4", Jalen Forrest, is transferring to Georgia Tech. He's the son of former Tech star James Forrest, All-Big South freshman team, led the Blue Hose in scoring last season, 11 points per game. 6'10", Quentin Melora Brown, who played at Rice and Vanderbilt, is transferring to the Citadel. In 123 career games, he averaged right at 5 points and 5 rebounds per game. 6'11", Michael Marsh, who prepped at Gray Collegiate, is transferring to Oklahoma State from Jacksonville University. And West Florence point guard Deuce Hudson, reclassifying to the 24 class, will play a postgraduate season with Combine Academy. He's the son of the former major leaguer, Orlando Hudson. There you go with the recruiting report tonight here on Sports Talk, brought to you by Seawells. Remember, check it out on our website, sportstalksc.com, and on Twitter. Just use the hashtag STRecruiting to take you right to our tweets, our retweets, and links to our stories. That's a nice, simple way to get it done. Okay, we're going to hit the break when we come back. A few minutes with Dale Jarrett, NASCAR Hall of Famer, 3-time winner at Darlington. That's coming up in a moment.
Founders Federal Credit Union knows your life is busy and your money is important. We are proud to offer local personalized services and convenient online services like Founders Online and the Founders app. You'll love being with us as much as we love serving you. Visit relaxjoinfounders.com or one of our 37 convenient locations to see if you qualify for membership with Founders. Relax. Win with Founders. Terms and conditions apply. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is Major Billy Downer, and coming up tonight at 7:30, it's another edition of SC Wow from the Department of Natural Resources on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Hi, folks. This is Mike Morgan. I want to tell you about an exciting new product from my friends at Vision Air Solutions. Staying healthy in my line of work is so critical, and probably in yours as well. A large factor in all that is making sure we're breathing in healthy and safe air every day. That's where Vision Air Solutions comes in. They make sure your home has air purification for all the air pollution you can't see. Viruses, mold, bacteria, stale odors, cooking smells, and volatile organic compounds. They make sure your home is full of clean air and also offer HVAC duct cleaning and sanitation as well. Make sure you and your family are breathing clean air today by giving Vision Air Solutions a call today. 803-220-1811. That's 803-220-1811. Tell them Mike sent you.
Parents ask, what's the best way to save for college? I'm State Treasurer Curtis Loftus, and my answer is always open a Future Scholar 529 College Savings Account. It's easy. You can get started online with any amount. It's flexible to adapt your child's college dreams. And you can deduct 100% of your contributions from the South Carolina state tax return. So what are you waiting for? Go to FutureScholar.com and see why it's the smart, easy way to save for college. FutureScholar.com.
Life, it has its ups and downs. Sometimes it's little things like hitting every red light or dropping your cell phone. Maybe it's the bills, rent, or pressure at work. But when it comes to the South Carolina Education Lottery, you should never feel like playing will solve everything. The lottery is a game. It's played for fun. So set a dollar amount. Expect not to win and make sure responsibilities, family, friends, and work come first. Visit PlayResponsiblySC.com.
We're going to hold the Dale Jarrett interview because we've talked ourselves into a corner. Don't want to have to cut it because it's our own interview. We want to give it the proper respect that it deserves for the one-time Camden resident. So we'll hold that, probably try to get it to you tomorrow night because it's a nice little conversation with Dale Jarrett, so we'll save that for tomorrow night. In the meantime, SC Wild coming up at the bottom of the hour. Winthrop has tied the Gamecocks. How long after I put the hex on him did it happen?
The very first Winthrop batter. The Gamecocks made a pitching change, took out Jerzenbeck, and then Strauss, very first batter for Winthrop, walked, which broke up the perfect game. So, again, any angry Gamecock fans out there with your superstitions, call in 888-898-2525, air any grievances you may have. Winthrop then later that inning, actually, they're still batting. It's now 1-1. They have the bases loaded with two outs.
Yeah, 1-1. They scored after getting the walk. Cordova singled to right field for the RBI. And pitching for the Gamecocks, they started with Jones, went to Jerzenbeck. SQ came in, could not get through the inning, went two-thirds of an inning, could not get through the fifth. He gave up the two hits, the one earned run. He walked two. He struck out one. They've gone to Proctor, who closed out the win over Auburn the other night. They've gone to him here in the fifth inning, trying to see if he can prevent any further damage in a 1-1 game, bases loaded, and two are away. We go back to the phones, 888-898-2525. Keith in Camden is with us next. Keith, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, Phil.
Hey.
How y'all doing tonight?
Terrific. How are you?
Just getting off the baseball field.
Oh, what were you doing? Were you coaching or umpiring?
Coaching.
What age?
11 and 12 year old. Yeah.
Not throwing any curveballs, are we?
No more than maybe two or three a game. Yeah. And that's by mistake. Yeah. No curveballs.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can tell a kid, you can tell the catcher, but every now and then they don't pay no attention to
it. They pop one off. But, hey, did you know the Jarrett family when they lived in Camden?
My wife did. She is from Camden.
Okay.
Her family's from Camden, mother and father, all of them. So, yes. So, look forward to that segment tomorrow night.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but look, my question is, I know the other week we talked about visits. I'm just curious, and I don't know if you can answer this off the top of your hat. how many offers do we typically make within a recruiting cycle in Columbia? I mean, I listen every night, and it just seems to me like, and I don't mean it the way it sounds, several hundred, and, you know, eventually something sticks. I'm just curious, how many do we actually make during a year?
That's a good question. I can tell you, let's go back to 2023.
Yeah.
All right. Let me go back here to 2023, and give me just a second here. I have to do a little bit of database work here, and I can pull that up. Now, this is just my information. I'm not going to say mine is the absolute or anything like that.
Right.
So just
give
me
ballpark.
Give me a second here. So in my database from last year, the 2023 class, I had South Carolina with 135 offers. Now, that's on the low side, too, because I miss some. Not every offer do I see, and it doesn't get recorded in the database. And and maybe some folks I don't include if they offer because I know they're not going to get them. But 135 offers, trying to fill about 30 slots, 30 in their case, 33 slots. And that includes transfer players as well. That's high school and transfer players. So South Carolina is one of those schools. They offer in bulk. They offer a lot of people. There's schools that approach it that way. Then you have the approach that Clemson takes, which is a minimum number of offers at a specific time, a minimum number of official visits at a specific time. You know, they try to keep it trim and neat with their recruiting, not a bunch of, you know, if you look at it, not a bunch of fat on the edges there. They try to keep it like, these are the guys we want, these are who we are offering, and these are who we are bringing in. And that's, you know, if we don't have to go beyond that group, then we won't. You know, South Carolina is with another mindset. They like offering a lot of people. Then they don't bring in a heck of a lot for official visits. They do a pretty good job of identifying who they really want from the offers, who might be seriously interested, and then bringing those guys in for official visits and going from there. They keep that number relatively sane. But now, of course, you have unlimited number of official visits. I was talking to a player the other night about that. He goes, I could take as many of official visits as I want to. And might just throw a couple of others on there just to go for a trip somewhere, you know, which is, I don't understand the NCAA's rationale about that. I mean, here we go again. It's like they're just, let us throw another cherry on top to try to make everybody happy, though it really doesn't make any sense. Because if you open this up, I mean, you will have some prospects who will take 10 or 15 official visits. And obviously they're not going to be interested in all of those schools to the point where they would consider going to all of those schools. So you're just wasting time and wasting people's money. Why the NCAA opened that up, what their rationale for that was, and why they thought that was a good idea, it's sort of like giving the players unlimited transfer opportunities or immediate opening that up for immediate opportunities to leave right away without anything to kind of hold it together, without any guardrails around it. They just do things without thinking about what the ramifications are. And that's what burns the NCAA these days.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if one way is better than the other. I get it. You know, there's an advantage of offering a kid early before a lot of other people do. But, you know, maybe we'll eventually get to the point that we're like up the road. But
I think Shane Beamer likes his way. I don't think, you know,
I
think he likes his way of doing it. I think they believe in getting an offer out early to a player. Clemson, you know, they won't offer a 2025 prospect until this summer. You know, that's just been Dabo's policy. And that way they kind of feel like they find people who really want to be with them. And they're not out there just dropping lines in the water and doing a lot of blind fishing. They have an idea of exactly who they want. But Beamer and his people seem to like their approach, and it seems to be working well for them. Okay, thank you very much. SC Wild is coming up.
Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
It is indeed time to welcome back to Sports Talk once again the man who knows all, tells all, shows all about the great outdoors in South Carolina, Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources, another edition of SC Wild. If you want to reach out to the Major tonight, just give us a call, 888-898-2525, South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number, into SC Wild from DNR with Major Billy Downer. Major, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. Always a pleasure to be with you tonight, Phil, on this, I guess we call it crisp nights now.
Yeah.
It's got a little cooler again. Enjoying a little fire of the last few nights. Been nice. Good time in South Carolina to finish up turkey season in the upstate with really cold mornings in game zones 1 and 2. Of course, we are into the final days of turkey season. Looking at now that we would probably be the 10th is going to be our last day, you know, for the season in the upstate. Those that if you're in the other parts of the state, you know that your season's over, but we've got, 7 days left in the upstate. Today's the 3rd, so the 10th is when it wraps up in game zones 1 and 2. So there are folks still out there trying for a turkey. Again, as we talked about last time, sometimes it's easier this time of year, sometimes it's harder.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on how the birds have been. But been a good season so far. I think it's every season's a good season. But if you define your season by taking a turkey, it depends on your hunt. For me, it's just about hearing birds. And I was able to go on 2 successful hunts and take a young man on his first one. So that was good enough for me. Got to work the bird, hear the bird in the roost. Bird came down, you know, works to you. It was great. That was a great hunt.
So you just like to see the turkeys. I mean, you're not necessarily out there for the kill. You just like to hear them, see them, and smell them.
I want to hear them. I definitely want to hear them. And I want to see them strutting. That's just the thing. I want to see that gobbler strut. I want to see them dragging those drag feathers, and I want to see them in full dance mode. Just get that whole tail feather out there and fanning. That's the best. When he gobbles, that's even better.
When you take your turkey call and you do your thing with your turkey call, and the turkey responds to you, is that an extraditional surge of excitement?
Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Especially when you hear one and you don't expect to hear one.
Mm-hmm.
They're close to you. They're behind you. Ooh, it makes skin crawl. Things blow up like that. But, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we really got I want to take a moment in the show to really put a spotlight on. We talked about the last couple shows. We've talked about the boating bill,
mm-hmm.
Boater education, and it did get third reading in the House today. So it has passed with some amendments. We'll see where it goes from there. Of course, the Senate and the House get back together and confer on that. But we're very happy to see that bill go through the process. Feel like we'll have a safer boating community in years to come. A lot of thanks goes out to a lot of people. You know, we've had Morgan Kaiser on here and her family with her mom so many times. But, you know, there are others out there, Mr. and Ms. Randall Smith, who lost their son so many years ago in the 90s that have been – don't know if there's anybody else that has given more to make boating safer than they have. They just – they've worked very hard over the last – shoot, it's literally 20 plus years since 97. So 25, 27, 26 years. They have worked very tirelessly. Again, not to put anybody to the side because there are several families that have stepped up. But you want to mention those names because they really, those two families have done a lot this particular year. And again, the the Smiths have been so good at this for many years. But anyway, we're glad to see the voting bill push forward. We will see where it ends up. But again, looking forward to a safer boating season coming up. And we're going to close the show talking about boating since boating season is in full swing with 80-degree weekends. The last few weekends, we had boats out in March and April, and now we're in May, and Memorial Day is right around the corner, starting the 100 daily days of summer, as we always talk about. But we want to talk about some boating safety items tonight, remind folks about when they get their boat out, titles and all those things. But hit real quickly on fishing, crappie are still biting pretty good on your area lakes. A lot of the guides are out with crappie fishing still. Stripers, in and out Lake Murray, other lakes as well. Bass tournaments, had the big bass tournament this past weekend. They went on Lake Murray and had a really good time the week before on Lake Murray. Came to Lake Marion and really struggled. Went into the final day, I heard the top three teams had only set, two fishermen had 70 pounds for their total going into the final day, and that's just really low. Really struggling, it doesn't sound that low, but when you look at a 5-fish limit and several days of fishing, and then you see the next after the top three, it drops down to 15 pounds. Mm. And almost drastic, just a lot of difference in the fishing there on Lake Marion this last weekend, that tournament. Now, not really sure what was going on, but a lot of people struggled in it. Top three, and then after that, it just kind of fell off. Again, area lakes, crappie and striper this time of year doing pretty well. We're going to the football season coming up in the summer on Lake Murray, as we call it. You catch your first few and get out. But that's kind of where fishing's at. On the coast, I've heard some really good, we had a really highlight. Some of our officers made a really good case on Spanish mackerel. So apparently Spanish mackerel are biting because this gentleman was way over the limit. highlighted that. Did a really good job, the officers down there working that case. But so inshore fishing, this time of year, flounder start biting pretty good. Not quite soon enough for doing your flounder gigging yet, but that's going to come. But your redfish, your speckled trout, those fish, the bites coming up, doing very well. Inshore sheephead are coming in off the wrecks. They're on structure inshore as well, on the jetties. A lot of folks doing real well there, and that will only get better in the weeks to come. So that's a basic fishing report for us right now. Offshore, I think April's been the month for doing some mahi-mahi off the coast, and haven't heard a lot of reports. I'm sure it's getting better. May right now probably still pretty good. Offshore, we're talking 65 miles off. Wahoo, those kind of fish now are out there to be caught. Again, looking for fresh weed lines and getting under some shade there in the big water, anything trash, and you'll find these fish floating up under all that structure, whatever you can find out there on the water. That's our fishing report. Let's talk about some boating fields. We always do.
Mm-hmm.
We are heading hard into boating season. Everybody's getting their boats out. I see boats for sale left and right. I'm even looking for a boat myself, so trying to upgrade a little bit.
What are you looking for? What are you looking for?
Well, when you start going out looking for a boat, so what do you look for in a boat? That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
How big do you want to go? Because you go big or go home. Are you going to go like the rest of my friends that have a 22, 25-foot boat with a 250, 350 on the back, or two 200s on the back? You're looking at $150,000 to $200,000. That's beyond what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a 17-foot boat, runabout, great for fishing, good for just spending time with a small family, doing fishing and cruising at night or in the evening hours on the water, just a basic 17-foot center console with a 90 on the back. A lot of boats fit that bill. Your Key West, your Boston Whaler, my old Montauk was my favorite, your Scouts, your 172s, your Key West 1720s. Those are boats that fit that mold pretty well and are very popular on the coast. And you see a lot of those out there, but You look at boats today and go looking at a brand new boat, you're looking around for a 17-foot boat like that, you're looking at $38,000 plus for a small boat like that, what we call a relatively small boat, but a boat that's big enough to take some rough water and get you in a little bit. Not saying you're not going to get wet, not saying you're going to get beat a little bit with a boat like that, but that's kind of your minimum when you go in big water or going in, on the coastal waters a little bit, something you can be stable in. John boats, John boats are still king on the river and the swamps. Your John boats, they're in the $14,000, $15,000 range for a 16-foot John boat with a 25 on the back, with a tiller steering and, a basic trailer. Mm-hmm. So those are things we look for as you're looking for boats. But, yeah, I'm looking at the center console market, not going to go up there to the big T-tops and not quite yet and try to start small and see where we are. But as you look for boats right now, one of the things, as you're in the boat market, if you're looking for boats, things you need to be cautious of and look for is you want to make sure that if you buy a boat, that the person you're purchasing the boat for has that boat title in their name. And if they don't have the titles to produce for you, you can go to the department at one of our offices and you can verify that boat is in their name so you're not buying a boat that's not registered to the person you're buying it from. You can take the registration number. They can verify that for you. But that's one of the big no-nos is typically when you're buying a boat, you want that owner that you're buying from to have the titles. In South Carolina, we're a boat title in the state, so it requires you to have a title on the boat and a title on the motor. And you want to make sure that the person selling you the boat has the titles in hand. Can it be done without that? Yes, it can. But those create questions. Why don't they have the titles? How do you know that boat's in their name? The registration card, is it in their name? Have they paid the taxes on the boat? Fortunately, we've changed the law now so that you're not required to pay back taxes on a boat that were owed. You're only required to pay the taxes when you buy the boat. So now if you go buy a boat, again, you want to make sure the person selling the boat has the title for the boat and has the title for the motor, if you're buying a boat and motor. A lot of people put a lot of energy into if you're buying a boat, make sure that boat, the motor, hadn't been in salt water that much. Well, if you're on the coast in Charleston, you're not going to find a boat that hadn't been in salt water. So you got to take a look at the motor. Mm-hmm. Take the cowling off, the cover off the boat. Look at the back of the motor. Is there any rust on the outside of the motor? Open the cowling up, which is the cover. Take it off. Look at the motor itself. Has it got white coloring? Has it lost has it got a lot of corrosion? Do your points, your spark plugs have a lot of corrosion or rust on them? If they do, that's not a boat you want, a motor you want to get, or it's a motor you're going to buy and have a lot of work with.
Is the white coloring good or bad?
It's bad. That is corrosion.
Okay.
White coloring is corrosion, and that happens from salt air, and it reacts with the aluminum and metal on the motor, engine block. You get that white corrosion in there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see rust and things, a lot of corrosion around your points. On your spark plugs. Those are things to look for. If your motor or cowling is clean underneath, that's a good check mark moving forward. You want to look at your boat on the hull ID. Make sure it hadn't been scratched off. Somebody trying to hide that. Mm-hmm. Look on the motor, on the motor bracket. That's where you're going to find the serial number for the motor. Look there. Make sure that that motor bracket has got a serial number on it and it's not been fouled off or messed with. Remember this, if a boat deal seems too good to be true, it probably is. Deb was always right about that. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. So let your conscience be your guide. But again, as you're looking at boats, you want to look at things like that on the boat as far as the motor. Now, when you get to the boat, looking at your hull, getting inside the boat. If a boat's been sitting out a long time in the weather, you want to make sure the boat hadn't been holding water and the floor gets soft.
Mm-hmm.
Some boats, the floor gets soft. It actually, if you stand on it, it'll move a little bit. That's a bad sign. That means the floor is falling apart. Not good. You want to check, electronics. Check your wiring, things like that. Look at that on the boat. Look at your lights, things like that. You know, the best thing to do, if you're going to buy a boat, is get them to start the motor up. Put at least one of your water cups on the outside of that, on the outside of your motor so you can run it with water running, and cut that motor on, make sure it starts, make sure it runs. And sounds generally okay. If you can get somebody to meet you at the landing and put the boat in the water, even better. That's the best scenario. Sometimes hard to do that, and that's okay. And the third piece of the pie you're looking at is you want to look at the trailer, because getting that boat from A to B, you need a good trailer. Look at the trailer, look up on it, look for rust, look at the springs, which is what's over the wheel, to make sure the springs aren't rusted through. Make sure that your bunks, which is the wood boards that your boat sits on, that the brackets aren't rusted through. Those are good things to look at. The front of the boat, making sure that your winch stand is in good solid shape. And you can let go, you can take the boat and undo it from the winch stand and just shake that winch stand, take pressure off of it, and see if it shakes real bad. I'm going to tell you, don't worry about the lights, because as a good friend of mine told me, trailer lights are an abomination. They're only right when you leave the store. They're never right again. And that's pretty much the truth.
But I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you, that's an important part of this whole deal, right? Because you've talked about before having those trailer lights working, because you're putting yourself at risk in terms of an accident, and also, of course, getting a ticket if your lights aren't working, right?
Right. So, you know, that's going to be your driving laws, DOT rules. You want to make sure that your lights on the trailer work. You don't want somebody running into your boat you just bought, or boats you've had for years. You don't want them running into it. So make sure your trailers do work. Definitely your brake lights. Turn signals aren't as important as the brake lights and the running lights. When you're running down the road and you cut your lights on, those lights cut on. Definitely the brake lights work. So when you hit the brakes, they can see the brakes. And the bigger the boat you get, the more important those lights are, because if they can't see your taillights, if you got a big boat, like a 20-foot boat, they're not going to see your taillights.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hit the brakes, you better make sure your trailer lights are working. Make sure they're plugged up and working. But again, they're always a challenge because you're always putting them in the water. Now it's gotten a lot better now that we're using LED lights. They tend to last a lot longer. But people will still shake their heads because electronics will get bad. If you put it in salt water enough, the wire's going to corrode, and they'll quit working, don't matter what kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never, ever seen a light that was truly waterproof. I don't care what it says. They're talking about the light's waterproof. Sure it is. Maybe the first two times, but it will go bad inevitably every time. So those are just things to think about.
Major, real quick before you move on. One more thing with the trailer. Would you mind going into, in South Carolina, whether you need to make sure there's a title for that boat trailer?
You do not. And we're not a state that requires a tag on a trailer. If you go out of state, you get on Facebook Marketplace, you may find boats from other states that require, North Carolina requires a tag on the trailer, and the people have to have titles. In our state, we don't title trailers. So that's not a big concern in this state, but it is in other states that you will buy from, particularly when you get on Marketplace and look outside of this state, you will see that. Good mention that you said that, though, because the next thing I want to talk about is we've talked about buying a boat in South Carolina. Let's talk about outside of South Carolina, Georgia to our south, North Carolina to our north. They do not title motors. So those are things you got to be careful about. Florida doesn't title motors. And it's not a dig at the state, but that's one less thing to track that motor. So you got to be real careful when you're buying a motor that it is not stolen. Because when it's not titled, there's no you want to prove that you're buying the motor that it's for that boat. Someone hadn't taken that motor from someone or whatever else. That's why we've been a titling state for so many years. The titles just help us verify that the motor is indeed, you know, it's titled to someone. In states where it's not titled to them, the motor has no really proof other than a bill of sale from the original dealer they bought it from, maybe. But so that can be a little question mark. Not you can't buy a good boat from out of state. Doesn't mean that at all. I've bought a boat from Georgia before myself when I bought my Whaler. I had the guy come to South Carolina. I met him at the state line. I'd gone through the boat, of course, run the numbers, made sure it matched up to him. There was nothing wrong with the boat, ran the whole ID, everything. And those are just extra steps I did to make sure that I was buying a boat that truly was what I was looking at. Again, out of state, that's when you get in trouble a little bit. And you just want to make sure out of state, the best thing you're going to have is the registration on the boat. Make sure the registration matches up to the person you're buying from. For instance, if that person's if the registration number's on, ask them to see the registration card, because all states provide a registration card, and you can match it up with the person selling it. That's just a good, easy thing to verify who you're buying from. And when you buy out of state, you really got to make sure the trailer's in good shape. because you can buy one. If you're not prepared, you go around the road. Once you buy it, get, you know, 30 miles down the road, the bearings get hot, been sitting for a few years or whatever, and all of a sudden, boom. Oh, yeah. Smoking trouble comes. You're having to pull over, and you're out there cussing and swearing with a brand new boat that, guess what, is yours now. So those are things to think about, taking extra hubs, which I've done on trips before, too. It sounds like I'm going to the nth degree, but if you don't, you may wish you would have.
I mean, is it like, is it when you buy a used boat like that, is it like as is? I mean, you're taking the risk. It's all on you. You
when
can't
you're buying
take
a boat
back?
From an individual, it's absolutely it's on you.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
You buy from a dealer, there is some protection there,
mm-hmm.
which is what a dealer's going to tell you.
Right.
But typically, dealers are going to add a little bit to it, and you may pay more for a boat. But, again, there is some protection provided
mm-hmm.
with dealers who sell boats or use boats as well, because they're going to cover the boat they're selling a lot of times. But even they sometimes will sell boats as is. It is a lot to buy a boat in no matter what state. In this state, out of state, look at the registration. Ask to see the registration card. If the registration is not up to date, that should concern you, because how long has the boat been sitting? If it's not up to date, it's probably not been running it. If they haven't been running it, now how long has the boat been sitting? A motor does not do well sitting up. Two-stroke, four-stroke, doesn't matter. They don't do well sitting up, not running. So the longer it has sat up and not run, the more trouble you may have, the more the carburetor may be, as we all say, gommed up with whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And in today's world, did they run non-ethanol gas or not? And, you know, that's just one of those things. You run ethanol in a two-stroke motor, it does build up junk in there. It mm-hmm. just does. It can gel up sometimes if you don't run it enough and it sits a lot. So those are things to be concerned with. You go to buy a boat and it's got gas in the tank. So internal tanks, external tanks, other things to consider. You know, if you're buying a John boat, most times it's going to have an external tank. No problem. You can get you a new tank. You can clean the gas out, pour the gas out, and get an internal tank and get some new gas in there. But if you buy a 17 or a larger boat with a center console, 15, that has an internal gas tank, you want to make sure that gas tank doesn't have condensation and water in it, because getting water out of the gas can be tremendously troublesome. So that's something to look at, too. And they make some things that you can put on a stick and actually stick down in the tank and see if there's water in the tank or not. But leaking hulls, boats that sit up a lot will get water in the tank, and that is a buyer beware for sure. I know we're getting close to time, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Been a good night talking about boating. We will definitely hit on Memorial Day on our next show and really get in some boating safety basics and hopefully have a great update for us on the boating bill by then as well.
That sounds fantastic. Great stuff tonight. Learned a lot. We thank you. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you later in the month.
Enjoy it, sir.
Same here, sir. Major Billy Downer from DNR. You didn't learn something from that. You're not paying attention, because I learned a lot. Now, while all that was going on, South Carolina was having a homer fest in the top of the seventh. French, Tippett, and Petrie all homered for the Gamecocks. Two-run homer for Petrie. So the Gamecocks have hit four homers. Messina hit one in the second. They now lead 5-1, bottom of the seventh, after that four-run seventh inning.
There you go, Corn. You made up for messing up the perfect game by earlier in the program. You mm-hmm. also talked about their lack of home runs here lately. Well, mm-hmm. they heard that, and mm-hmm. here you go. Got four tonight.
Yeah, so blame me on one end, but praise me on the other end, okay? Let's be fair about it. Elsewhere, North Carolina has beaten East Carolina 2-1. Citadel now leads Charleston Southern 7-6, bottom of eight. Upstate 14-7 over Queens, top of the ninth. West Virginia 7-0 over Pitt, top of the fifth. Virginia Tech beat Marshall 5-3. Braves are having their way kind of with the Marlins. They're up 8-4 in the bottom of the fourth. That will do it. Thank you to Major Billy Downer for being with us. Thoroughly enjoyed what he had to say. Hope you enjoyed everything else tonight. Looking forward to being back with you tomorrow night here on Sports Talk. We'll have another great show lined up for you. You can rest assured. Thank you, Pat, and have a great night, everybody. We shall see you tomorrow.